All right, let's dive into the Gospel of Mark. You brought along some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Mark Jennings, and I have to say, this is going to be really cool.
Oh, absolutely. I think Mark is maybe the most action-packed of all the Gospels, and Dr. Jennings really makes it come alive.
You know, I think we often hear that word gospel, and we just think of it as like a book title. But Dr. Jennings pointed out something really interesting, that gospel actually started as like a spoken proclamation.
Yeah, that's right. It's from that Greek word euangelion, which means good news, literally. Like, imagine a town crier announcing a big victory. It's got that kind of energy.
So it's not just a story. It's like a declaration.
Yeah.
But how did that turn into, like, these written accounts of Jesus's life?
Well, Dr. Jennings explains that over time, that spoken tradition, it became written down. And those four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they became known as Gospels because they were spreading this good news about Jesus.
Okay, so they're sharing good news. But how much of it is actually, like, rooted in history? Can we really trust what the Gospels say happened?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, lots of people ask that. We should acknowledge there's been, like, this debate among scholars about how historically accurate the Gospels are. Especially after the Enlightenment, people started to look at these texts with a much more, like, skeptical and rational mindset.
So how do we balance that skepticism with what Dr. Jennings is saying about the Gospels being reliable historical documents?
Well, Dr. Jennings argues that the Gospels are pretty reliable, especially if you think about them in their historical context. You know, he points out they depend a lot on eyewitness accounts, which were a big deal in ancient historical writing.
But what about all the things that seem like contradictions between the Gospels? I mean, sometimes they describe events differently or they include different details.
Yeah. Well, that's where it gets really interesting, right? Dr. Jennings, he reminds us that we can't judge these ancient texts by our modern standards of historical writing. Think about it. If two people today were telling about the same event, they'd probably highlight different details or they'd use different words. But it doesn't mean one of them is lying.
That's true. We all have our own ways of seeing things and telling a story. So maybe those things that seem like contradictions, maybe they actually give us a more more full understanding of what happened.
Exactly. And Dr. Jennings, he really emphasizes that in ancient times, it was totally normal to paraphrase stuff or arrange things thematically. And we see that in the Gospels.
Okay, that makes me think about it differently. So the Gospels are this unique type of writing, rooted in history, but also crafted as stories to get a message across. And with Mark, that story is known for being super fast-paced.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Jennings describes it as like this whirlwind, just constant activity. And one of the things Mark does is he uses the word immediately, all the time, more than 40 times. He keeps things moving forward with this sense of urgency.
40 times. Well, that's a lot of immediately risits. It's like an action movie where everything is happening so fast you can hardly keep up.
Totally. And it's not just the pacing. Dr. Jennings also talks about how Mark groups together similar events. Like, he'll have a string of miracles or a bunch of challenges from religious leaders. It's like he wants to highlight those key themes and build momentum, you know?
It sounds like Mark is a really good storyteller, carefully putting his narrative together to pull the reader in. Speaking of great storytelling, what about that Markan sandwich that Dr. Jennings talks about? I've got to admit, I'm a little lost on that one.
Oh, that's one of the most interesting things Mark does. So imagine you're reading a story, right? And then suddenly, in the middle of that story, he sticks in a totally different story. And then he finishes that second story, and then he circles back and finishes the first one. It's like layers in a sandwich.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that. But why would he do that? It seems kind of, like, disorienting.
It might seem that way at first, yeah. But Dr. Jennings, he suggests Mark uses this structure on purpose. He's connecting events that seem totally unrelated to create a deeper meaning. Like, he's weaving together these different threads to show us, like, a hidden pattern.
That's so interesting. So it's not just a random choice. It's a way of adding meaning and symbolism to the story.
Yeah, exactly. And all this attention to detail, this careful use of language, it just emphasizes how powerful Mark's gospel is.
Okay, so we've got this gospel that's rooted in history. It's written in this really unique style, and it's all about sharing good news. What about the main character, though? What kind of picture of Jesus do we get from Mark's gospel?
Well, the portrait of Jesus in Mark is really fascinating. You know, you see, like, both his humanity and this divine authority just on full display.
Yeah, I've always thought that was really interesting. It's like he's totally human, experiencing all these emotions just like we do. But then there's also this this undeniable sense of power and authority about him.
Right. Dr. Jennings gives a great example of that duality in Mark. He points out that Jesus shows this whole range of human emotions, compassion, grief, even anger. But he also acts with this like divine authority, performing miracles, calming storms, you know, and even challenging those traditional religious norms.
Yeah. It's like he's holding those two things in perfect tension, you know, fully God and fully human.
Yeah. And it's made even more complex by that idea of the messianic secret, which Dr. Jennings talked about. Like, Jesus is both revealing his true identity, but also concealing it at the same time.
I've always thought that was one of the most interesting things about Mark. Why do you think Jesus kept his identity kind of shrouded in secrecy?
Well, Dr. Jennings suggests that maybe this secrecy was a way for Jesus to kind of control the narrative. You know, he didn't want to be put in a box or forced to fit into the expectations people had about what the Messiah should be. Mm. Remember, a lot of people were expecting a political leader or maybe a military leader, someone to overthrow the Romans.
That makes sense. It's like he was trying to flip their expectations and challenge their assumptions about who the Messiah would be and what he was going to do.
Exactly. And this whole idea of misunderstanding and misinterpretation, well, it's not just with the crowds. You know, it's also really clear in how Mark portrays the disciples.
Ah, the disciples. Dr. Jennings pointed out that Mark gives a maybe a less flattering view of the disciples than some of the other gospels. Why do you think that is?
It's a really good question. Some scholars think maybe Mark was writing for a community that was experiencing persecution. And he wanted to show that even those people who were closest to Jesus struggled with doubt and fear. You know, like, it's a reminder that faith is a journey. And it's okay to not have all the answers.
I think that's a really powerful message for us today. Because we all have those moments of doubt, times when we question things or feel like we're failing. It's comforting to see that even the disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus, you know, they went through the same struggles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And despite their imperfections, you know, Jesus continued to choose them and teach them and love them. Mark, he really highlights the disciples' shortcomings, their misunderstandings, their fears, even their moments of denial.
Like that scene where they just totally miss the point of Jesus' teaching about his upcoming suffering. They're so focused on positions of power and glory, while Jesus is talking about, you know, sacrifice and service.
Right. And it's not just that they couldn't grasp the idea of a suffering Messiah. Dr. Jennings points out that Mark's gospel doesn't offer that same sense of, like, restoration for the disciples that we see in the other gospels.
You mean their failings aren't, like, as easily forgiven or forgotten?
Exactly. In Mark's version, even after the resurrection, there's this lingering doubt and uncertainty surrounding those disciples. And that makes Mark's gospel really unique and leaves the reader kind of wondering about, you know, the nature of faith and forgiveness.
It sounds like Mark is like challenging us to really think about some uncomfortable truths about ourselves and our own faith. He's not giving us this like sanitized, perfect version of what it means to be a disciple. It's messy, it's challenging, and it's full of human flaws.
Yeah. And yet there's also this like profound hope running through Mark's gospel, because even though the disciples fail, Jesus still keeps calling them to follow him, to be part of his mission.
Okay, so we've got this incredible picture of Jesus, both human and divine. We've got these flawed but relatable disciples, and this constant tension between what people expect and what reality is. Where does Mark take us from there?
Well, all this leads us to that climax of the gospel, the event that everything has been building towards, the crucifixion.
And this is where Mark's writing style, all that urgency and immediacy, it really kicks in. He doesn't shy away from the raw emotions and the brutality of the crucifixion.
Exactly. Dr. Jennings emphasizes that Mark gives us a very visceral, like unflinching account of Jesus' suffering.
Mm.
He wants us to really feel the weight of that moment. And, you know, one of the most interesting details Dr. Jennings points out is that Mark actually gives us those Aramaic words of Jesus' cry from the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
Wow, that's powerful. Why do you think Mark included those Aramaic words?
Well, Dr. Jennings suggests that maybe it's a way of highlighting the authenticity of the account. Like he's saying, I was there, I heard it myself. This is what Jesus said.
It's like we're right there at the foot of the cross with him, hearing that cry of anguish. Wow, it gives me chills just thinking about it. But even in the midst of all that suffering, Jesus still shows this incredible compassion and forgiveness.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Think about his words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a remarkable statement, especially given what's happening to him. It says so much about Jesus's character and the depth of his love.
It's like he's embodying that message of forgiveness and reconciliation that he's been preaching his whole ministry. And then after Jesus takes his last breath, there's that incredible moment when the Roman centurion says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
That's such a pivotal moment in Mark. Here you have this Roman soldier, someone who represents, like, the power that condemned Jesus, recognizing his divinity.
Mm-hmm. It's like this sudden revelation, you know, a recognition of Jesus's true identity coming from someone who is part of his death.
Yeah, and it really speaks to the power of Jesus's sacrifice, how it transcends all our human understanding and expectations. It completely changes what we think we know about power and victory.
Okay, so we've gone through Mark's gospel from that proclamation of good news to this heartbreaking scene at the cross. What happens next? How does Mark end his account?
This is where Mark's gospel gets really interesting because unlike the other gospels, Mark doesn't give us this like detailed account of Jesus's resurrection appearances. Instead, the original ending, it's really abrupt.
Wait, really? So what happens after the crucifixion? What does Mark tell us?
Well, in the earliest manuscripts, Mark ends with this group of women. They go to the tomb, right? And they find it empty, and there's this young man there, and he tells them that Jesus is risen, and he's going to meet the disciples in Galilee. And the women, they run away from the tomb, totally terrified and amazed, and they don't say anything to anyone, and that's how the original Gospel of Mark ends.
That's so strange. It feels kind of unfinished. Why would Mark choose to end it like that?
Yeah, that's a question that has puzzled scholars for, like, centuries. You know, mm-hmm. Dr. Jennings, he suggested that maybe Mark left out a big resurrection scene on purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, to emphasize how important faith and obedience are. Because, like, the women at the tomb, they were told to go and tell everyone, but they didn't. They were too scared.
So it's almost like a challenge to the reader. Are we going to be like those women, too afraid to spread the good news? Or are we going to be brave and actually share the message of the resurrection?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to think about it. Mark leaves us with this sense of anticipation, you know, like a call to action. He's not just telling us a story. He's inviting us to be part of this ongoing story of faith.
It's like he's saying, okay, the good news has been announced, but now it's your turn to go and spread it. This also makes me think about all those hints and foreshadowing of the resurrection that we see throughout Mark.
Oh, yeah, totally. Remember how Jesus keeps telling the disciples that he's going to suffer and die and then rise again? But they just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, they're so focused on their own ideas about what a Messiah is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mark is using that abrupt ending to kind of mirror how the disciples didn't understand at first.
And maybe he's also highlighting the idea that the resurrection isn't just a one-time event. You know, it's this ongoing reality that changes people's lives and changes the whole world.
I think you've got something there. The resurrection isn't just about a physical body coming back to life. It's about a whole new way of living. You know, a new creation.
It's a message of hope renewal, this ultimate victory of good over evil.
And that message, I think, is what makes Mark's gospel so powerful and relevant even today. It challenges us to face our own fears and doubts, to kind of embrace the mystery of faith, and to live in a way that shows the power of the resurrection.
So even though Mark ends on this uncertain note, it's an uncertainty that's full of potential. You know, like the story isn't over, it's up to us to continue it.
Exactly. And I think Dr. Jennings would totally agree with it. Mark's gospel is this invitation to go on a journey, you know, a journey of faith, discovery, and transformation. It takes us right to the heart of what it means to follow Jesus.
Well, this deep dive into Mark has been amazing. We've uncovered so much, you know, from the historical context and the writing style to the deeper theological themes and how relevant it still is today.
Yeah, it's a gospel that's worth reading over and over again. You know, there's always something new to discover, something more to think about. And like Dr. Jennings said, Mark isn't just a book to be read. It's a story to be lived.
I think that's a perfect way to wrap things up. And as you continue exploring this incredible gospel, remember that question we talked about? Why did Mark choose to end his story like that? What was he trying to tell us? Let that question guide you as you dive deeper into the mysteries and the wonder of Mark's gospel.